Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
Thank you very much. You are correct. It is, once again, your weekly dose of conservative wickedness. If that's not a word, well, by God, it's a word now. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble, TGIF. People, the weekend is upon us, and we are so glad for that. And I am so glad that you are here hanging out with me, listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. You are listening on Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. Check it out. There are a ton of talented people. You have two 24/7 streams of live internet conservative talk radio, and you name it, and we are talking about it. You will find if whatever you're looking for, you're going to find it at Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Of course, we have a ton of stuff to get to today. I have got a stack here. I know I'm going to have to save some stuff for next week because I've got so much stuff here that's going on as usual. Never a dull moment. You can also call in here. The number is 347-857-2620, 347-857-2620. And, of course, you can go to the now-functioning chat room if you want to go that route. Chat room is open for your convenience if you want to do that. So let's get going. Of course, we had last night, for anybody who saw it, Donald Trump, and President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect Mike Pence are going on a thank you tour. And, you know, just the fact that they are doing that, it makes them stand out. It makes this team stand out. I don't remember, and again, maybe this kind of goes to the fact that Donald Trump is an outsider, that he is not a politician by trade, that he has not spent his adult life as a politician. That maybe that explains the fact that they would have come up with this idea of a thank you tour to go to a lot of these swing states and a lot of the states that the election really did hinge on to thank the voters for their votes and for their support. And the thank you tour kicked off last night in Cincinnati, Ohio. Ohio, of course, being, you know, all of the talking heads, all of the pundits, all of the people who say they are in the know as far as presidential elections go, that you are not going to become president of the United States, regardless of who you are and who your party is, unless you win the state of Ohio. And so quite naturally, that is where the president-elect and vice president-elect kicked off the tour last night in Cincinnati. And, you know, it really did have the look of a campaign crowd. There was it did not look, when I was watching, it did not look that there was an empty seat in the house. The media did their best to try to tell you that there was, and I have a report here from Newsmax that kind of alludes to that one of the things that they talk about was that that the hall was kind of I'm looking for the quote here. One of the things that is in this report, it says, perhaps befitting an encore presentation, the downtown arena that Trump packed in October, drawing a crowd that was one of the loudest of the campaign, was only about half full Thursday night. But the thousands who were there cheered Trump as he declared to restore America to greatness, saying, quote, now is not the time to downsize our dreams, unquote. And for all of the, again, for all of the talking heads, all of the pundits that you can go to, you know, anywhere you want to go on your dial to listen to them and find out what they have to say, I did have to agree with them. I thought that, well, first of all, I think that Donald Trump does have some gloating coming his way, because the media's treatment of him and their behavior during the campaign was so off the charts that I do firmly believe that he had some gloating coming to him. He's got the right to do a little gloating and a little pushback of the people who said that this was never going to happen. And so there was that. And I also thought I thought it was a very positive speech. He not only did he used the campaign slogans of making America great again and building the wall and making better trade deals and things like that. But he did say things like now is not the time to downsize our dreams. And he urged people to think big and think outside the box and think boldly and think, you know, do basically saying we are Americans and there's nothing that we can't do as Americans, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what your background, this is America. And you can do, regardless of what liberals and the media and those on the, everybody on the left wants you to think, if you're an American and you are here, you are either a naturalized American or you are a born and raised American. There is nothing that we can't do here in America. So it was a very positive and it was a very uplifting speech. And he also, it was kind of funny that he kind of made what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a tongue-in-cheek, well, it wasn't tongue-in-cheek, but kind of a humorous announcement when he urged the crowd not to tell anybody, urged the crowd of how many thousands of people tell anybody, but that next week, I believe on Monday of next week, that he is going to announce that, what is his name, General James Mattis, I believe, is going to be tapped as Secretary of Defense. And well, he's better known to he is a former Marine, and he's better known to those who served under him as Mad Dog Mattis. And you know, I think for those of us who have watched our military and the brave men and women who are members of our military and have watched them be downsized and decimated and used as a social experiment for the last 8 years, a Secretary of Defense who has the nickname of Mad Dog is very refreshing and quite welcoming. I could definitely say that my own, speaking just for myself. There is, James Mattis is retired. He was, again, he is former Marine. He was retired as Chief of the U.S. Central Command in 2013. He spent more than 40 years in the Marine Corps. But there is a waiver that he would need to be granted by Congress because there's a rule in place that says that a defense secretary has to be a civilian for at least 7 years before taking that post. But by all accounts that they think that he will get that waiver, and that right now there is really no strong opposition to him in Congress to for him to be confirmed as the defense secretary. So I think that was kind of floated yesterday, kind of informally, that he will be, retired General James Mattis will be named as Secretary of Defense next week. And I think it was a very welcoming announcement for a lot of people who want to see our military live up to its full potential and be the great institution that it has been and is, and obviously under the stewardship of General Mattis will continue to be the best in the world, hands down. Let's see. I do have a couple of things here, and I do have a clip of the Trump speech last night in Cincinnati. He went on to say that, quote, never again will anyone's interests come before the interests of the American people. It's not going to happen. The old rules no longer apply. Anything we want for our country is now possible. And again, alluding to that positive can-do spirit because we are Americans. And it's for myself, and I think for a lot of other people too, it is just so refreshing to hear a president or a soon-to-be president talk about the greatness of America and talk about that there's nothing that we can't do because we are Americans and we have that can-do spirit. We haven't heard that in 8 years. All we've heard about for the last 8 years is that Americans are racist, sexist, bigoted, homophobes, and we have to go around to the world apologizing for all the horrible things that we've done. People are tired of that, and the left and Hillary supporters and liberals in general and the media and anybody that you want to throw into that category, dare I say, throw into that basket of deplorables, anybody you want to fit in that group, you haven't heard that in 8 years because they don't believe it. And it's just, I think it's again, just so refreshing to hear that, that it's very, very welcoming. And again, you know, when I hear people talk about populism and nationalism and things like that, and the first thing that I ask myself is, you know, I think like everyone, every other rational thinking American, I want all Americans, again, regardless of who you are, what color you are, where you come from, what your economic status is, what you do in life, everybody wants the best for Americans, no matter who you are. And I'm trying to figure out what it is, what's wrong with putting America first. I don't understand what's wrong with putting America, Americans, and American interests first. That's what we're here to do. And you know, while we want America to be inclusive and to be the land of opportunity for everyone who is here, like I said, regardless of who you are, I don't know what's wrong with that. I don't know. But, you know, if that's populism and nationalism, then I guess I am one because I don't see anything wrong with that. And absolutely, you can go abroad and go to the rest of the world for lack of a better word that I can't think of at the moment, negotiate and talk about things that are good for all people. But again, if you are in a foreign country, if you're abroad and you're no matter what it is, and why can you not want the best for America and Americans, and that somehow makes you bad? It's the kind of thinking, it's the kind of liberal globalist thinking that the Obama administration has pushed upon us for 8 years now. And Trump also did talk about, and we're going to get to it in a minute, talk about the decision by the Carrier air conditioning plant in Indiana that they are not going to move to Mexico now, that they are they're going to leave some 1,100 jobs right here in the United States, right here in the Hoosier State, in Indiana. And so that was it's a big thing. It's a big thing for somebody who hasn't even been sworn in yet as president of the United States. And a lot of times while Donald Trump was on the campaign trail, he talked about this, and he alluded to the fact that he chalked up a lot of Carrier's decision to move this plant to Mexico initially was because of poor Obama administration policies. And one of his campaign promises is that he has, and it's got to be one of the things that carried states like Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, Pennsylvania, those Rust Belt states where you've seen manufacturing jobs just evaporate over the last, I think one of the statistics that Trump gave last night was 70,000 factories are gone in that part, in the United States since the year 2000. That's unbelievable. And, you know, that's under George W. Bush's watch, too. So you can't, in all fairness, you really can't blame Obama for a lot of that. Maybe you have to take a look at what was going on during the Bush administration as well. But Seth Martin, who is a spokesman for Carrier, said Indiana offered the air conditioning and furnace manufacturer $7 million in tax incentives after negotiations with Trump's team to keep some of the jobs in the state. And I think a lot of it, too, probably is that maybe that one of the, a lot of the things maybe that the Trump team are part of the negotiations that went on with Carrier was that they kind of said, hey, look, once we get sworn in and once we get into office, we're going to get rid of this high corporate tax rate. Right now, the United States has the highest corporate tax rate in the world. If you're going to start a business, if you're going to start a manufacturing plant, whatever kind of business it is, why would you start it here? Because you're going to pay the highest corporate tax rate in the world. And not only that, but we know that the Obama administration has put stifling regulations on not just small businesses, but business in general, and making it virtually impossible for any sort of business to grow and to prosper. And so I think a lot of those negotiations had to do with those kind of things. I think that basically maybe kind of what went on here was that the Trump team said, look, if you can just hang on and not make this decision just yet, when we get into office, we're going to get rid of so many of these stifling regulations and we're going to get rid of this ridiculously high corporate tax rate. And there's going to be incentive for you to stay here and to keep these jobs in America. And so that's a good thing. But I'm going to take a quick break here. When we get back, we will listen to a little bit of Donald Trump's speech from last night. And we'll take a little trip down memory lane, and we'll listen to the announcement by Carrier back in February of this year. When they announced that they were moving these jobs and the reaction of the people in that room, this has to stop, and it's going to stop January 20th, 2017. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. Don't go anywhere. I have just scratched the surface, even if I've done that. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble, TGIF.
This is Dinesh D'Souza, and you are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've looked at other website designers. There's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
855-296-9017. 855-296-9017. 855-296-9017. That's 855-296-9017.
Look at these three words written larger than the rest, with a special pride never written before or since. Tall words, proudly saying,
we the people.
That's what you call Eid Blabnista.
Was not written for the chiefs of kings, or the warriors, or the rich, or the powerful, but for all the people.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning out of the words, we the people of the United States. In order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish the Constitution, these words and the words that follow, they must apply to everyone or they mean nothing. Do you understand?
You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew, I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
Did you ever look at the stains in your coffee cup and then realize that's exactly what happens to your teeth? Paraswabs is the five-minute solution to get your teeth white without visiting the dentist. This is John Greenhut, the CEO of Paraswabs. And if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, all it takes is 5 minutes with Paraswabs. In 5 minutes, you'll see an average of 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. It's clinically proven to whiten natural teeth as well as caps and veneers. The secret is a tooth detergent that lip stains off of your teeth. Best of all, there's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes and you're done. To try Paraswabs risk-free, call 1-800-925-9963. That's 1-800-925-9963. I guarantee your bright white smile will have your friends, family, and coworkers talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free today. 1-800-925-9963. That's 1-800-925-9963.
We are back. TGIF people. The weekend is upon us. Thank God. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with me today. You are also listening on Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. Check it out. You will not be disappointed. Before the break, we were talking about Donald Trump's speech last night, the beginning of the thank you tour for the Trump/Pence administration that will be incoming in a few short weeks now. And here's a little clip here from the speech from last night in Cincinnati, where Donald Trump, he did a lot of things in his speech. He was very positive. He talked about the things he wanted to do. He thanked people for their votes and for their support, but he also had a little fun with, as he usually does, kind of slamming the media and things like that. So here's a little bit of what Donald Trump said last night.
You cannot get to 270, the dishonest press. There is no road. Folks, how many times did we hear this? There is no path to 2-7. There is no path. There is no path. There is no path for Donald Trump. Texas is in play. Do you remember that one? Now, as a Republican, I'm supposed to win Texas. As a Republican, I'm supposed to win Georgia. As a Republican, I'm supposed to win the great state of Utah. I love Utah. Love those states. Remember when they said Donald Trump is going to lose to some guy I never even heard of? Who was that guy? He is going to lose to this guy. But the people of Utah were amazing, and we trounced them. We trounced. And by the way, Hillary came in second, and that guy came in third. I was still trying to figure out. I'm still trying to figure out what was he going to prove. Did he want to? I wanted to find what the hell was he trying to prove. I guess he wanted us to lose the Supreme Court. That's about the only thing he was going to get. But think of it. They said, I'll tell you what, just 2-3 weeks before the election. And my friends would tell me just the opposite. They live in Texas and Georgia. They said, Georgia is in play. Texas is in play. That means like we're even. And then we won in a landslide both states. I said, what happened? They go, for weeks, Texas is in play. Then you turn on the television, like 2 minutes later, Donald Trump has won Texas, you know. These are very, very dishonest people. Okay. I love this stuff. Should I go on with this just a little bit longer? I love it. How about, it's like 12 o'clock in the evening. And Pennsylvania, I'm leading by a lot. And we couldn't get off 98%. They didn't want to call it. We're leading by so much that it's impossible. If I lost every other vote, and they refused to call. Then at 3 o'clock, I'll never forget, I watched a particular person. And we won Wisconsin. And we won Michigan. And we won Pennsylvania. Right? And that person is doing the map. And that person was saying for months that there's no way that Donald Trump can break the blue wall, right? We didn't break it. We shattered that sucker.
So that was just a little bit of what Donald Trump had to say last night. And, you know, when he's talking about very dishonest people, you know, he's always pointing in the back of the room at the media people there. And it always gets everybody in the crowd going, because I think one of the things that has attracted average everyday Americans who know who just exactly who and what the mainstream media is and what their agenda is and what they're trying to do, they've finally got somebody who's saying out loud that has, and not only are they saying it out loud, they have a very big stage on which to say it. That person is saying exactly what they're thinking, and he's calling them out. He's saying, look, we're not stupid. We're hip to what you're doing, and we're hip to why you're doing it. And it's something that they don't, they still think that they can get away with going, what are you talking about? No, they can't do that anymore. And I think that this is, well, the relationship between the Trump administration and the media is not going to be an easy one for the next 4 years, at least the next 4 years, possibly eight, who knows. But I think a lot of them, of the media is welcoming it. I think they are looking forward to it. And I think that they are going to do what they need to do to undermine the Trump administration and anybody connected to it. And, because they feel that that is their mission in life, that is their goal, that is how they're going, that's their idealistic, here's how we can make the world a better place kind of thing, you know. But first of all, somebody needs to tell them that that's not their job, to make the world a better place. That's not what they're there for. They're there for who, what, why, when, and how. To make the world a better place is not their job. If it happens somewhere along the way, great, that's a bonus. But that is not your job. One of the things also that happened yesterday is that Donald Trump went to the Carrier plant in Indiana with Indiana Governor and Vice President-elect Mike Pence, and to celebrate the fact that Carrier will not be moving about 1,100 jobs to Mexico, that they're going to stay right here in the United States. And, you know, let's take a little trip down memory lane while we're talking about this. This happened back in February. Carrier got all of their employees together and announced this move back then, that they were going to move this plant and another smaller operation that was outside of Indianapolis. They were going to move all this to Mexico. And someone had the presence of mind to start recording on their smartphone and start recording this announcement. So this was back in February of this year, February of 2016. When Carrier announced this move of roughly 1,000 jobs, 1,100 or so, give or take a few hundred, that they were going to move these jobs down to Mexico.
It became clear that the best way to stay competitive and protect the business for long term is to move production from our facility in Indianapolis to Monterrey, Mexico. Listen, I've got information that's important to share as a part of the transition. If we could go ahead, if you don't want to hear it, other people do. So let's quiet down. Thank you very much. We also intend to relocate the distribution center from Indianapolis as well. Relocating our operations to Monterey will allow us to maintain high levels of product quality at competitive prices and continue to serve the extremely price-sensitive marketplace. I want to be clear, this is strictly a business decision. Once again, let's please get more information to share. And by no means a reflection of the performance of this facility or any individual within it. It is important that you understand that there will be no impact on jobs today. In fact, the first transition would not take place until the middle of 2017. We expect the move to take place in phases over approximately 3 years as we ramp down our operations in the Indianapolis facility. We expect the transition to continue through 2019. This announcement is, of course, subject to discussions with our local union representatives. We will sit down with officials from the union in the coming days.
How long it takes people to start tearing shit.
Throughout the transition, we must remain committed to manufacturing the same high quality products that we always do.
Yeah, fuck you.
Once again, please quiet down. We still have a job to do. We have to take care of what needs to be done every day and continue to do it well. Just like we always do. This was an extremely difficult decision. It was made most difficult because I understand that it will have an impact on all of you, your families, and the community. As we continue, and just as we are doing today, we will provide you with as much information as soon as possible about the transition. This will allow you to understand the plan better, as well as the impact on you personally. We are committed to treating you with respect throughout this transition, and we will work with your union representatives to help ensure that this is the case. Thank you for your attention. I'm now going to turn the floor over to Jim, who has some more important details.
I apologize. There's a little bit of strong language there from people in that sound clip. And so I apologize for not warning you beforehand. But you can imagine that if that were you, would you be I'd be dropping some strong language and some F-bombs myself. But it's hard to imagine to be standing there and listening to someone say that they're going to they're just going to rip your job right out of your hands and move it to Mexico. And one of the things here, well, this is a report from Newsmax here, and it does say that the Trump administration did reach a deal with United Technologies Corporation, who is the parent company of Carrier, and that they are going to keep these jobs in the United States. And one of the things here that it says in this report is that, again, the parent company of Carrier, United Technologies, got some strong incentive to keep good relations with the incoming Trump administration, given that a portion of its estimated $57 billion revenue this year will come through U.S. military contracts at its Pratt & Whitney and UTC Aerospace Systems units. So there's some other incentive as well for them to hang around. But one of the things also that this report says is that when the company had planned to move all of these jobs to Monterrey, Mexico, starting next year, local union leaders had claimed that Carrier had told them that it was going to pay Mexican workers $3 an hour compared with more than $20 an hour for their U.S. counterparts. So right then and there, it becomes clear what Carrier's motive is, and that's their bottom line. It's saving money, saving dollars. And actually, as recently as 10 days ago, Carrier insisted that it had no plans to reverse this decision, but then acknowledged over Thanksgiving that they were in talks with the Trump administration. And, you know, for all of the people who say that, you know, well, this is not government's job to force companies to keep their business in the United States and to penalize them if they decide to move with tariffs and things like that. I don't know that after this happening, and of course also it's earlier this month, Ford made a decision to keep production of a Lincoln Sport Utility vehicle in Kentucky, and that they were also going to move. They were considering moving that manufacturing business to Mexico. But I think what's going to happen here is that other companies are going to see that the Trump administration is – it's not so much that they have to say, if you move, we're going to do A, B, and C to you. They're not going to do that. All they have to do is watch what's happening. And I think if there are other companies out there that are considering moves such as this, that maybe the heads of those businesses are going to say, hey, let's wait a minute before we do anything rash and do anything that's going to put a lot of Americans out of work and out of a job. Let's wait and see what is the Trump administration going to offer business owners and manufacturers? What kind of tax incentives? What kind of tax breaks? And, you know, the left is going to go on and on about tax breaks for the rich. Well, but if you incentivize business to stay, you lower the corporate tax rate, like I said before the break. If you give incentives, you lower the corporate tax rate, you get rid of all these stifling regulations that the Obama administration has put on manufacturing and business, you're going to see that business profit and prosper like nobody's business. And so I don't think that maybe after this they might not have to do a thing, that people are watching. They're manufacturers and businesses and the heads of those businesses are watching what's happening, and maybe they're going to rethink any sort of possible move that they may have had in mind and just kind of say, hey, wait a minute, let's see if we can put this off a little bit and see what the Trump administration is going to do in regards to keeping manufacturing in the U.S. and keeping these jobs here in the U.S. But also, for anyone who is following, we know that earlier this week that the Green Party presidential candidate, Jill Stein, filed a motion to begin a recount in Wisconsin. And there is nobody thinks that this is really going to go anywhere. It's first and foremost, many people think that it's really kind of a fundraising tactic for the Green Party. And I've said all along, and you know, I think it's probably still going to be true even with the Trump victory. You know, not everybody was on board with Donald Trump, and there are a lot of people who, you know, who checked none of the above on their ballot. They're tired of Republicans and Democrats, and they're looking for an option. They're looking for another party. And I think that maybe even without this stunt by Jill Stein, and she's being supported, of course, by the Hillary Clinton campaign, I still tend to think that there are going to be people who take a second, a third, a fourth look at libertarians, at the Constitution Party, at the Green Party. And you know, we've got 4 years for people to do that. And I still think that that's going to happen. I still think that there's going to definitely be some people who say, hey, we need some other choices. We need some other options here. But right now, they are recounting votes in Wisconsin. And the thing here is also, it's not just fundraising, but, you know, it's I think a good part of it is that I think the left thinks that if this recount starts and it starts by hand and they drag it out, I believe that the date that Wisconsin, and they have other states on the radar too, Michigan is in their sights, as well as possibly Pennsylvania, I believe, too. Michigan has already certified their election results, so I don't know what kind of chances they would have there. But part of the strategy here, part of the strategery, is to keep this recount going until December, I believe it's the 12th or the 13th, where it is the deadline for any recounting to be completed in Wisconsin, because of course the Electoral College meets on the 19th, and that is when they will officially elect Donald Trump president, and all of these electors will meet at their respective state capitals and do this. And so I think they think that if they drag this out, that if they can drag it out beyond the 12th or the 13th, that Wisconsin will not be able to certify, they will not be able to allow their electors to vote. And so that's the strategy now. But I just saw this morning that supporters of President-elect Donald Trump, this is from the AP, and this was just about just about two hours ago, supporters of President-elect Donald Trump have filed a federal lawsuit trying to stop Wisconsin's ongoing presidential election recount. The lawsuit and request for temporary restraining order was filed late Thursday in federal court in Madison. It was filed by the Great American PAC, the Stop Hillary PAC, and Wisconsin voter Ronald R. Johnson. The lawsuit contends that the recount that started Thursday threatens the due process rights of Johnson and others who voted for Trump. Trump won Wisconsin, and the recount again was requested by Green Party presidential nominee Jill Stein. The lawsuit argues that errors are likely in the recount as election officials are rushing to meet a December 13th deadline. As of 10 a.m. this morning, I'm pretty sure that's Eastern time, Michigan's attorney general has asked the state Supreme Court to block a potential recount of the state's presidential vote, which was won by fellow Republican Donald Trump. Attorney General Bill Shute, like the Trump campaign, argues that Green Party candidate Jill Stein cannot seek the recount because she was not, quote, aggrieved, unquote, to the point at which a potential miscounting of votes could have cost her the election. She garnered 1% of Michigan's vote. The filing on Friday, today, delayed the start of a state election board meeting to consider Trump's request to block the hand count of all 4.8 million ballots cast in Michigan. Trump defeated Democrat Hillary Clinton in Michigan by 10,700 votes. Again, the recount is already underway in Wisconsin, and Stein also wants a court-ordered statewide recount in Pennsylvania. So, again, it's really nothing more than fundraising and trying to keep electors from – trying to keep this recount from being done so that the state's electors cannot meet on the 19th of December. And, I think it's really going to backfire. In fact, I think I said yesterday or the day before that somebody's going to file a counter lawsuit to stop this, because there's no reason for it. Jill Stein was not going to become president of the United States without this recount. And Hillary, I think I saw on Drudge this morning that as of this morning that Hillary Clinton has only gotten one more vote in Wisconsin. So that's where that is going. But the other thing that the left is doing, and I wrote about it at the Conservative Cauldron blog, conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. You can check it out there. That this is all kind of the last stand for the left. And one of the other things that's going on, and it's definitely going on here in Missouri, and it's going on other states as well, that electors are getting letters. I know of one person, myself personally, possibly two more electors that are people that are electors here in Missouri. They are getting deluged with letters and emails encouraging them to change their votes. And some of them are even to the point where there are death threats being leveled against people. And there's a young man in Michigan who has gotten death threats that say, you're a hateful bigot, I hope you die, things like that. He said he has had people talk about shoving a gun in his mouth and blowing his brains out. Just dozens upon dozens of these emails. Some aren't quite as threatening. They say things like, quote, do society a favor and throw yourself in front of a bus. And the places that it is going on here are states here. They're targeting 160 Republican electorates in 15 states that Trump won that do not have laws that bind their electors to legally vote for the candidate that took the electoral votes in that state. They are Arizona, Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, and West Virginia. So you can look for these things to be going on in a lot of these states. And again, it's a last attempt by the left to, I would say, I saw someone the other night somewhere, one of the talking heads, that isn't this voter intimidation? And I would say absolutely, yes, it is. Because first and foremost, these electors are voters. There is also a spreadsheet distributed to supporters on Wednesday, Hillary supporters, that included electors' personal phone numbers, addresses, religions, races, genders, and candidate preference. And in many states, all of this information is public record. But maybe that's something in future elections that we need to take a look at because, well, again, it's the last gasp of the left, and it's just the beginning of at least a four-year-long temper tantrum being thrown by the snowflakes and crybabies on the left. But buckle up, folks. It's going to be a bumpy ride. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and I'm going to try to get to a couple more little tidbits here that I have before we got to call it a day. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, TGIF. I hope I can get to it all. So stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Hey, folks. Kevin Jackson here, host of The Kevin Jackson Show. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Boy. Man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy. Whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills, and you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans?
then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-949-8708. 800-949-8708. 800-949-8708. 800-949-8708.
We are back very quickly before we gotta get out of here today. A couple other things. This horrific attack at Ohio State University this week. Former New York Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick was on Newsmax TV this week, and he was talking with the host of Newsmax Prime, J.D. Hayworth, and he was talking about this guy who carried out this attack, Abdul Razak Ali Artan. He was a legal permanent resident, U.S. resident, easy for me to say, did exactly what ISIS and Al-Qaeda and groups like this, he did exactly what a lot of their training manuals for the radical Islamic movement did. He did what they call for, and that is, quote, use your vehicle, use knives, use weapons, use small arms, use guns to carry out the attack, because they know that we're looking for bombs now. We're looking for homemade bombs and explosive devices. He went on to say, this is the world we live in. We're going to have to go back and see where this kid came from. He's been in the country for 2 years. He came out of Pakistan. He originally was born in Somalia, but he lived in Pakistan. I understand for the prior 7 years, but how was he vetted? How did he get in? Did he go through a vetting process, the same vetting process that they're using for Syrian refugees? This is a refugee issue that we've talked about for the last year and a threat that we've talked about over the last year. So I think this is something that has to be looked at very seriously. Carrick also went on to praise police officials who responded to the incident. And he said, I do blame the media because the governors, the mayors, the police commissioners, the police chiefs, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. And if they call it a certain thing, it turns out not to be. They get crucified in the press and the media for the next week. So I think in this circumstance, I think the police chief was right. Call it what he sees it to be at that point in time and let the facts during the investigation. But again, this is one of the things that Donald Trump is talking about. How did this kid get in the country? How was he here? Was he under refugee status? Did he have some sort of student visa? How did he get in? And again, this is something that the Trump administration, they say they're going to look at very closely and review very closely. And I think that's something that definitely needs to be done. This, incidentally, is from the Huffington Puffington Post, but says the shooting death of a police officer in Tacoma, Washington on Wednesday of this week was the 200th time people have shot at members of law enforcement in 2016, and more than a quarter of those incidents have resulted in death. All told, 56 officers in those shootings. This is according to data cited by the Huffington Post. Looking deeper, the data shows that 75% of the firearms used in 200 shootings were handguns. 69 of the incidents occurred in states that require background checks for handgun purchases. HuffPost crunched some numbers and found that in the 21 of 25 states with the highest number of shootings per officer, background checks are not performed for all handgun purchases. Well, the thing with that is that the bad guys are not going into Joe's gun shop to apply to get a gun and therefore going through the background check process. No, these guys are buying stolen handguns and stolen weapons, stolen firearms on the street corner. And for first of all, for the Huffington Post, I don't dispute the police shooting statistics. I'm sure it's right. And we just had also yesterday, I believe, the city of Chicago log its 700, try to digest that, homicide this year. And Illinois is a state with some of the most stringent gun laws in the United States. So how does that work? I think that the assault, that the ambush on the men and women of law enforcement is also something that is going to come to an abrupt halt on January 20th, 2017, because there will start to be some real and serious consequences for those who think that they can just randomly shoot at cops and because somehow they're entitled or somehow that they deserve to do this. So, you know, we will be seeing, hopefully we will be seeing the last of this law enforcement ambush and crime wave very soon. But before we got to get out of here, this comes to us from NBC, New York City NBC affiliate News 4. Police gave News 4 an exclusive look at surveillance video of a gold robbery worth millions of dollars, Mark Santia reported. A quick-moving crook capitalized on a 20-second window of distraction by armored truck guards in bustling midtown Manhattan to steal a bucket of gold flakes worth nearly $1.6 million, surveillance video obtained exclusively by News 4 New York shows. The theft happened in broad daylight on a September afternoon on West 48th Street. Surveillance video shows a man loitering, keeping watch on an armored truck. Then one guard leaves to make a pickup, and the other guard heads to the front seat to grab his cell phone. Those 20 seconds were long enough for the thief to strike. He goes to grab the 86-pound bucket and makes a run for it, though he clearly has difficulty maneuvering it. I think he just saw an opportunity, took the pail, and walked off, said NYPD Detective Martin Pastor, who's overseeing the investigation. Police believe the man had no clue what was inside the bucket. The video shows the thief setting down the heavy bucket, putting it on his shoulder, then taking a breather. He takes another few steps and pauses again. The normally 10-minute walk takes him an hour. He then jumps into a van at 49th Street and 3rd Avenue. Police believe the man is hiding out in the Orlando or Miami area with a bucket of gold, something Pastor believes the thief never knew until he opened it up. So those of you who live in Orlando and the Miami area, you know, if you happen to see a guy with a big honking bucket of gold flakes, please call your local law enforcement officials because, wow, you went to the front of the cab of the armored truck to check your cell phone. I don't know. I'm thinking he may be looking for a job. With that, I am out of here. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. Please go to conservativecauldron.blogspot.com, facebook.com/BeckyNoble, twitter.com. I am at Patriot Witch, and, of course, politchicks.com. Have a fabulous weekend. I will see you next time.